When I first started at Walmart in 1992, if someone cussed or made an off-color remark, they were shown the door. By the time I left, people were throwing around F-bombs, just left and right, front of the store managers, anybody. Even they were doing it. And the same was true with my wife when she left Walmart corporate, that they were using that language in meetings. A popular meme circulating on social media makes a claim that people who use crass language has a higher IQ than those who don't. It's the same old Satan who talked Eve into eating from the forbidden fruit because it'd make her wise. You would think if you had a higher IQ, they would come up with more intelligent words than the uncultured ones. I'm guessing the one who put the meme out was probably of the lower IQ. I'm not sure. But this is just a sign of our times of vulgar language and being accepted as commonplace. And if we're not careful, we'll find these words slipping into our own language. Does it really matter? How does God feel about it? Words change in their meaning and usage over time, don't they? I read one thing from the internet that said, is it really taking God's name in vain if you use GD or just say Jesus Christ, since that's not really his name? You would have to say Yahshua or Yahweh for it to apply, because they say that's his real name. Well, since the real pronunciation of these words has been lost and no one knows them today, that means nothing's being said in vain to God, if that's the way you want to look at it. We're not here to judge or point fingers at anyone. I would say most of us in this room have had times of anger or injury that we said words that we'd prefer not came out of our mouth. Some of us may have cussed profusely in the past. We have heard these words emphasized from the time of childhood, and our brains just latch onto them. This is just a reminder that God expects us to strive to work and remove them from our vocabulary. What we need to consider is that many of the words used in profanity have their origins in disrespect towards God. I'm going to read a quote from Science That Matters. Historically, language has tended to revolve around religion in Judeo-Christian and Muslim traditions. Profanity emerges when words selected for a specific function are stripped of their intent and used outside of religious context. In Latin, the word profanus translates to outside the temple, signifying words that desecrate sacred precepts. As such, words in English as holy, hell, and God, coupled with damn, or even names of religious figures like Jesus Christ, become swears when they're used accordingly. In the Middle Ages, you might cry out, "By God's bones," in particular, oaths on God's body parts. Other examples include "by God's words" or "by the blood of Christ," were the most obscene phrases you could say. Today, this is just shortened to bloody, often followed by hell. These swears were deemed so shocking because people thought that saying them was akin to ripping apart the body of Christ in heaven. In a perversion of the Eucharist here on earth. Synonyms may be substituted for profane words in an effort to reduce or eliminate their offensiveness. For example, someone may substitute gosh for God, or they may employ more creative options, such as cheese and rice for Jesus Christ. Some may say, dadgummit, in place of GD in a sentence. I lost my darn keys. By substituting the word darn, it is typically viewed as inoffensive. But are they inoffensive? Most of these words or synonyms are used in times of anger or frustration. You could just say, I lost my keys. In the Hebrew language, according to Strong's 7045, it's Q-L-A-L-A, pronounced Kalala, means a curse or cursing. This is an incident that happens in the assembly of Israel in their wanderings through the wilderness. If you'd like, turn to Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24 and start in verse 10. Now the son of an Israelite mother and an Egyptian father went out among the Israelites, and a fight broke out in the camp between him and the Israelite. The son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name of God with a curse. So they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shilamit, the daughter of Debri, from the tribe of Dan. They put him in custody until the will of God should be made clear to them. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the blasphemer outside the camp. All those who heard him are to lay hands on his head, and the entire assembly is to stone him. Say to the Israelites, anyone who curses their God will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord is to be put to death. In this verse, it uses Strong's 7043, which means to be trifling, of little account, or to take lightly, despise. Is it not a trifling thing to be taken lightly, how we use any reference to the divine God of the universe? Among the Ten Commandments is Exodus 27, you should not take the name of your Lord God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The word vain means in an empty or false way, which encompasses a lot more than just foul language. But today, we are focusing on that one aspect of it. Some cuss words revolve around bodily function and sex and do not blaspheme God, but they are still words we should avoid using as we strive to tame our tongue and let all filthiness be removed from our language. You know, it's kind of ironic when we are coming here today. We're out behind a pickup at a stoplight, and guy had a bumper sticker that said, F Biden. Well, you know, people think that's okay now. You wouldn't have saw bumper stickers like that years ago. But now, just no big deal. Just say whatever we want. Doesn't matter who we're cutting down. If we'll turn to Colossians 3:8. Colossians 3:8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And then James 3, starting in verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. Verse 8, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. Who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. This verse may be more about this verse may be about more than just filthy language. It may be about gossiping too and judging a brother. Don't need to turn there, but I'm going to read Romans 3:13 and what was inspired to be written about our generation. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have a practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You don't need to turn there, but I'm going to read Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues." We are admonished as God's people to come out of the ways of the world and not be partakers of their sins. This verse in Revelation is mainly talking about the Babylonian mystery religion that is still prevalent today. It also means all the things that a religion of lawlessness has produced in our society. People go so far as to say that not judging includes not judging actions or thinking. We are not to be judging ourselves and the things that do not align with the character of God. All the verses talking about judging are in relation to saying any brother is lost or condemned. We are supposed to judge our actions and see if they are aligned with the character of God. The reward for asking God to help us tame our tongue is given in Revelation 21, verse 7. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." The hardest part of overcoming seems to be taming of the tongue, but with the help of God's Holy Spirit, it is possible.